As you know, today is the day we vote to confirm Jonathan Trask as the next lead pastor of Twin Peaks Community Church. After 45 years of pastoral ministry, I'm going to be retiring in April, so I've got about 6 months more. I spent 20 years in a church in Oregon and 25 years here, and we're hoping that this next 6 months will be a smooth transition as we welcome Jonathan to be our next lead pastor, teaching pastor. My motto in the next 6 months is going to be like John the Baptist. Remember what he said? He must increase, I must decrease. In the next 6 months, you'll be seeing less of me. I'm still here. I'm still the pastor. But we're going to be featuring Jonathan when he's confirmed, featuring him more and more prominence until it'll be an easy transition of leadership in a few months. My new title, I'm not moving away. I'm not selling my house. I live two doors that way. Matter of fact, next Sunday we're having a walkover lunch. We're inviting all of you for lunch next Sunday. All of you. Don't be shy about coming. There's going to be some seats, but some might have to stand around, but that's all right. But there's always curiosity, but what's it like in the house of a pastor? And I can't have you all in one at a time. There's too many of you. So just have you all at once. Get it over with. You'll also get to see Mercy and Sam's apartment. It's part of our house. And Rachel's going to make her chili like we did last fall. It doesn't feel like fall weather, but we're having chili. And you don't have to bring anything. Just come in and enjoy that. So my new title is going to be Pastor Emeritus. And what that means is pastor retired with honor. They talk about Professor Emeritus. It's somebody that's still got a position, but not a lot of responsibility. So my hope is I'm still here and able physically to help for many, many years, but on a more limited role as my health might change in the next few years. So with this transition in mind, I decided not to preach on Matthew. We'll get back to that next week. But today to talk about biblical church leadership. Biblical church leadership. Our church is led by a group of men called elders. We're not part of a denomination. There's no hierarchy, no bishops over us. We are an independent Bible church. And we have a group of men called elders and a pastor, typically one pastor, but right now we'll be having two for a while. But our responsibility as a group, elders and pastors, is to lead and care for Twin Peaks Community Church. And we believe this is consistent to what the Bible teaches about leadership in the church. So let's talk about that right now. I've titled my message, Shepherding God's Flock. Don't you love that? Shepherding. A pastor is to be a shepherd. This is a flock. The Bible uses this metaphor a lot. People are compared to sheep who need a shepherd. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd who takes care of the sheep. And we know the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. So that's a very prominent metaphor. Now, the author of this little letter, Peter, uses to describe the relationship between the leaders in the church and the members of the church. The leaders are called shepherds. So that would be our elders and our pastors. And the members are called the flock. Little flock. Isn't that a beautiful name? A little flock, right here, just our little local flock. The main responsibility of elders and pastors is to shepherd the flock of God, verse 2 says. So that's the main action we're going to talk about today. The main thing commanded is shepherd the flock of God. Let's begin again in verse 1, and let me just talk us through this passage briefly. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, to be a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. So in this letter, Peter is talking to the elders. He's an elder himself. He says, elders, I need you men to lead this church. You know, the elders is kind of a funny word, isn't it? It implies older and wiser. You don't have a bunch of young people leading the church. You have older, wiser men who understand God's word and have some responsibility. These are godly men who are capable of leading and overseeing the church, and they're chosen by the members of the flock. We have an annual meeting every year where we reevaluate who our elders are, who our pastors are, and the members of this church, those who have chosen to apply for membership and become a member, have a vote in making choices on who's going to oversee this church. So when we have our vote in a few minutes, that'll be limited to those who have formally become a member. If you just attend, you're not a member, you're just an attender. There's nothing bad about that. We'd love you to have you. But if you've gone through the process of becoming a member, we want you to vote today. In the New Testament, this leadership position, became like an office, the office of elder or a pastor. So these are instructions. And notice it says elders, plural. God intends the church to be led by a plurality of leaders, not just one person who becomes maybe the boss or the dictator or the domineering character. It can be dangerous just one man making all the decisions. That's why there's a group. In today's day and age, we call it a committee. It's not a committee, it's an elder board. The biblical pattern seems to be multiple leaders and elders, and those specially gifted in teaching become teaching pastors. I'm going to introduce you to our elders. So we don't do this often enough. You don't know who those men are. You know who I am. You know who Jonathan is. But let me introduce you to our elders in this church, the men that God has raised up to lead and shepherd. First of all, let me introduce you to Rick Wilsey. Rick, could you stand up? Rick is the chairman of our elder board, and he has been leading this group for many, many years, 10 years. And Rick has chosen that this might be his last term as an elder and turning it over to others to follow. Thank you, Rick. Jim Underwood. Jim Underwood just taught the Lord's Supper. Jim, would you stand so people can see who you are? He's our elder statesman, elder as in 85. How old are you, Jim? 86. Jim has been an elder also for many years, so thank you, Jim, for your service. One of our newer elders is he's been around a long time, Dave Hatch. Dave Hatch is back in the back room back there. He runs the sound. The one that's newer is Dave Odie, and Dave Odie is standing right over here. All right. So you see these guys often leading the Lord's Supper. These are the leaders that God has raised up in this church. Another newer elder is Travis Newman. Travis, can you stand up where you're at? You're way over there. All right. Welcome, Travis. And then Jonathan Trask is also one of our elders. He's back teaching with the children and myself. So we have that is our elders board. What do these men do? What is their responsibility? What is their duty? What is their mission? Look at it. Verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God. That's it. Shepherd these people. You're not in this position for glory. You're in it to serve and to shepherd. Now, shepherd is usually a noun. We talk about a shepherd as a person. But here it's used as a verb. Shepherd the flock. Take care of the flock. Care for the flock like a shepherd would. By the way, the word shepherd is literally the same word as pastor. You only find the word pastor, I think, one time in the New Testament. That's a term we use a lot. But the term pastor means shepherd. So our very description of what we are and what we do is in the name pastor shepherd. Verse 2 continues, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. That's what we do. We oversee the church. That's another name that's interchangeable with elder, pastor, shepherd, overseer. Those are all synonyms. How are the elders and pastors to serve? How? I'll read it again. Verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Here Peter is talking about our motivation for leading. Ministry should not be done under compulsion. No one should make you minister. It should be something you should want to do because you feel called to do. You want to lead and help others. Ministry should not be done for sordid gain, it says. In other words, it's for spiritual gain, not for financial gain. The New Testament clearly teaches, though, that some pastor-shepherds can earn a living in the ministry. Some people have read this and said, well, you're not supposed to have sordid gain, you're not supposed to have money. But in other passages, like 1 Timothy 5, we read that it's okay and right to earn a wage as a pastor-teacher. It says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. That's the same word as honorarium. Especially those who work in preaching and teaching. The scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. And the worker deserves his wages. In the same way an ox that's working can eat and gain food as it works, ministers who devote themselves to teaching and preaching and shepherding can earn and should earn wages for their work. We have a tradition here that we pay a senior pastor full-time, and we usually pay under-pastors, under-shepherds, the worship team or others, a lesser amount, but we still give them some honor and some honorarium. Sadly, some people enter the ministry for sordid gain because they hope to get rich through the ministry. Is that a good motive to become a pastor? Well, you've seen some of those, haven't you? Some of these TV evangelists, some of these churches where they're always talking about money and they're driving nicer cars and bigger mansions. Be careful to evaluate your leaders and don't support unscrupulous ministries, those that are out for your money, not for your goodness. So money is not the only wrong motivation. Verse 3 continues, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proved to be examples of the flock. Some get into ministry for money, some get into ministry for prestige and for power. It talks about lording it over. They enjoy the authority and the power that comes with an office like that. That's a wrong person to choose as a pastor. They're more interested in building their brand than building the kingdom of God. They use this church, then they go to this church, and they keep working their way up, becoming more influential. That is a wrong motivation for ministry. True ministry is to be motivated by a servant's heart, who we serve. We serve because we love God and we love God's people. Isn't that kind of our motto at this church, loving God and loving people? That's especially true of your leaders. They have to love God and love people. Peter concludes this section with a word of encouragement in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, that's Christ, when the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, when he appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Your real reward comes from the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus will reward those who faithfully serve him. Whether you're a pastor, an elder, or a member, or the flock, Jesus will reward those who faithfully serve him. The chief shepherd will recognize and reward his under-shepherds. Now that's been a quick review of these first five or four verses. I really want to spend more time on application this morning. I want to develop this theme a little bit more as the pastor as a shepherd. We're told to shepherd the flock. Pastor means shepherd. So how is a pastor like a shepherd? Jesus is called the good shepherd. We're called under shepherds. So how can a pastor, a leader, an elder be more like a shepherd? What are the characteristics of a shepherd that a pastor should have? I'm going to suggest five roles of a shepherd. You can write these down. They're five simple points and apply them to a pastor. Let's just what a shepherd does is very much what a pastor does, and there's five of those. So that's not exhaustive. They do a lot more than this, but let's read these 5 points. Essentially, I am sharing a pastor's job description with you. my job description, Jonathan's job description, and the elders' job description. If you ever have to find a new church because you move away to Tennessee, wherever it is you move to, when you go to a church, now you'll have five categories to be able to evaluate, is this the kind of shepherd we want to be with? I know when you choose a church, sometimes you love the worship, or you love the preaching, or you love the fellowship, but you also have to know the man that God has raised up there. And this is what you look for in a pastor. You look for a good shepherd, a good under-shepherd. Number one, a good shepherd knows his sheep. A good shepherd does what? Knows his sheep. Likewise, a good pastor knows his people. There are some pastors that set up in their little office and don't interact with people at all. They're just working on sermons, working on books, working on theses, and they're all about the exciting book work of being a pastor. That's not where the ministry happens. Ministry happens with people, with the sheep. Jesus said in John 10:14, he says, I know my own, and they know me. That should be true of a pastor. A good shepherd knows his sheep, right? If he's a shepherd out there in the field, he knows each of those sheep by name, and he calls them by name, and they respond to him. He knows their strengths. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their preferences. He knows their tendencies, their injuries. A shepherd is aware of each of the sheep, how he can better serve that flock. And he knows which ones are prone to wander. And he knows which ones need extra care and oversight. That's the same as a pastor. He must get to know the people in his flock. This takes time. This takes effort. It takes personal contact. The larger the flock, the more difficult it is. Now, our church on a typical Sunday has about 150 people here. But, you know, there's always about 50 people not here. There's people associated with the church. So I consider our flock about 200 people, give or take a few. That's a lot of people to get to know. That takes time. It's my goal, has been my goal, to try to know you well enough to at least know your name and know a little bit about you. Some of you are newer. So it takes a while to get to know you, but some of you I've known for 25 years. And I love you love knowing you. So hopefully you get to know people not just about their name, but what they do and their family and their needs so that you can pray for them. The thing that really helped me the most is a photo directory. A few years ago, we got a photo directory that helps me put a name and a face together. There's nothing wrong with taking little notes in your photo directory and say, this is so-and-so, just had an operation and put the date there. And look through and read and pray for these people in your church. Get to know them is the point. How about making it your goal to get to know the people in your church? We're all shepherds of one another. Not just their names, but get to know their interests. And like we talked about 2 weeks ago, friendship evangelism. Connect with people. Get to know them and love them. Do you guys remember, this will date me, a show called Cheers? Yeah, you remember that, right? It's been a long time ago. Their theme song says, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Isn't that true? Don't you want to go to a church where everybody kind of knows you a little bit and you know them? That's what a smaller church can offer. You may not get that in a church of 5,000 people, but you can get it in a smaller group. So there's some advantages of being in a smaller flock, a little flock. So Jesus says something else in verse 10. Number one, we said the good shepherd knows his sheep, right? Number two, the good shepherd leads his sheep. Isn't that what shepherds do, lead? Likewise, a good pastor leads his people. Now, a shepherd doesn't push his sheep, doesn't drive his sheep. I know nowadays they have sheep dogs that chase the sheep around, but in these days, they weren't dogs, they were shepherds themselves. They led these sheep forward. He goes before them and calls them by name and leads them. As a shepherd, as sheep get to know their shepherd, they will willingly follow. And that takes time to build that kind of a relationship. You don't know if you want to follow that shepherd until you get to know them. A pastor, too, must build trust if he's going to lead his flock. There's an old saying, ready? Leaders don't show the way, leaders lead the way. Let me say that again. Leaders don't show the way, they lead the way. You cannot lead people where you've not gone. So you got to go there first. You got to be a leader spiritually. Pastors do not point ahead and say, go that way. They must lead the way and say, come with me, come with me. Unfortunately, some pastors push and prod. They have an agenda that the flock is not ready to embrace. They become guilty of what Peter says, lording it over. They've got an idea for the church, but nobody else has the same idea. They're in trouble. They're not leading. They're pushing. Or they get so far ahead that they lose touch with their flock. Maybe they have grandiose visions of the ministry growing, or they want to take the ministry in a new direction, or drastically change things, or implement new ideas and new staff and new decor, and they get so far ahead of the sheep that the sheep don't recognize their shepherd anymore. He looks more like the enemy than a shepherd. You've seen this happen in churches, where churches want to go a direction that the flock doesn't want to go. The shepherd has to be in tune with his sheep and know his sheep and lead them gently. No wonder sheep wander and scatter and join other flocks. If they don't have a shepherd who leads, then they probably have a shepherd who pushes or bosses or demands his own way. Now, this application can also be applied to the family. What's true of the flock is true of the family. Yes, men are to be the heads of their household. Amen? The Bible talks about the men should step up and be leaders in their families. But that doesn't mean domineering your wife and pushing and prodding your kids. It doesn't mean demanding or forcing your own way. You've got to earn leadership. Men, we must gently lead the way. We must build trust with our children. We must be worthy of following. This is nothing new to you. You know this. Be a leader. The third I want to talk about is the good shepherd feeds his sheep. That's one of the main jobs of a shepherd. It's obviously, we read in Psalm 23, about the good shepherd brings the sheep to the green pastures that they might eat and to the cool waters. He nourishes them, refreshes them, restores their soul. Likewise, a good pastor must feed God's people. They're hungry. They're thirsty. After the resurrection, Jesus had a conversation with Peter, who wrote this passage we're reading right now. Peter's one of his disciples. He failed him three times, night of the crucifixion. So after the resurrection, Jesus gets together with him to forgive him. And you know what Jesus says three times to Peter? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. That's the primary role of the pastor, teacher, elder. We must feed the flock of God. What is the food that the flock of God needs? God's word. God's word is called honey. God's word is called milk. God's word is called meat. Just as food nourishes the body, so does the scriptures nourish the soul. Remember that children's song? It tells you how to grow. So simple. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. But the next verse says, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. We need God's word, and pastors need to teach God's word. Unfortunately, many churches are facing spiritual malnutrition because pastors are not preaching the word of God. Listen to Amos 8:11. It predicts a famine. Not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but for hearing the words of the Lord. There's a famine. People are hungry for God's word, and we're getting everything but God's word. The pastor's job is not to be a comedian. Sometimes pastors are funny. I appreciate humor. But that's not our main job. We should be feeding God's people. Sometimes pastors are entertainers. But the pastor's job is not to be a politician. Pastor's job is not to be a social influencer. Pastor's job is to feed the flock of God and to feed it God's word. That's been my commitment these past 25 years is we've feasted on God's word every Sunday. We go through books of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we learn God's word. Now, we need to learn it again and again because we're forgetful. That's what a pastor's job is, to keep feeding God's word. My commitment to you and Jonathan's commitment to you is if you still attend this church year after year, we will continue to feed you God's word every Sunday. Now, for those of you who are hungry for more teaching, we have a website. You can go back and listen to teachings for years and years back if you wish. I have a son who commutes to work an hour every day, and he listens to all the sermons from the past on my website and on several other websites, and he's being taught all the time as he drives. Are you hungry for God's word? Make sure you find a pastor, a shepherd who will feed you God's word. Okay, let's keep moving forward. We've talked about three things. Let's go to a fourth. The good shepherd protects his sheep. Likewise, a good pastor protects his people. Now, sheep need protected, right? They're not exactly tough. They're kind of helpless on their own. They're very vulnerable. They have no fangs to bite back. They have no claws to scratch back. They cannot climb a tree to escape a predator. They cannot outrun a wolf if they're attacked. So they need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, they're literally what? Dead meat. Dead sheep. But when the shepherd is near, the sheep feel safe and secure. Why is that? Well, Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd protects the sheep. The sheep know they're safe near the shepherd, near the flock. Shepherds are always to be on their watch to protect the sheep from the wolves. And pastors must protect the flock of God. It's our job as spiritual leaders to be aware of spiritual predators. They sometimes blend into a church like a wolf in a sheep's clothing. We must be on the lookout. We must expose false teaching and false teachers. That's a hard job as a pastor. Because you might be tickled and love to hear somebody, and your pastor steps up and says, that is a false teacher. You should not listen to that person. You got to be careful. That's the pastor's job, is to guard you from the false teachings around. Paul said this in Acts chapter 20. Listen to this. Be on your guard for yourself and for your congregation. The shepherd needs to watch out for himself, that we are not deceived, and care for the congregation. Here's the verses. Be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock. There's that term again. Among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's our job, oversee. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, Paul says, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, when this shepherd leaves, there's going to be attacks. Be ready. Be alert. That's pretty serious. The pastor, the shepherd, the elder, we're given the responsibility to protect the flock of God. And pray for us that we'll have discernment so that we are not ourselves deceived. Okay, one more quality I'm going to talk about, the fifth today, that a pastor should be like a shepherd. Number five. The good shepherd loves his sheep. That's the main thing, you guys. When you find a pastor, see if he loves people or not. When you find a church, see if they love people or not. Remember, Jesus says, love God and love others as yourself, love people. A good pastor is one who loves people. That's the ultimate motivation for ministry. You don't do it for gain. You don't do it for prestige. You do it because you love people and want to help. Because the shepherd loves his people, he wants to know them intimately. He wants to lead them effectively. He wants to feed them God's nourishing food. He wants to protect the sheep from danger. It's all because of love. Jesus, the good shepherd, loved his sheep enough to die for his sheep. The good shepherd, he says, lays down his life for his sheep. The good pastor lays down his life for his sheep. He loves his flock. The pastor must learn to love people. Not just love books, not just love study, not just love Greek, Hebrew, the manuscripts. You can love all that and you should love God's word, but you should love people. We who are under shepherds must emulate the chief shepherd. Jesus did all that he did because he loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his son. Sometimes pastors grow impatient and say, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for all the people. I've heard many pastors say that. I wish I had a church where people didn't fight or weren't this drama. You got to love people to wade through all the troubles and trials. The reality is, this ministry is all about people. Shepherding is all about the sheep. That's what you're called to do. So those are five ways we should be like a shepherd. We learned a lot about shepherding God's flock. And I'm just going to wrap it up with a prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we are committed to being active members of our local church. Thank you for promising to build your church and that we can be part of the church you are building. And Lord, I pray you will bless this little flock, this wonderful little flock. Thank you that we do have peace and not turmoil. Thank you that we do have direction and we're not just wandering. Thank you that we do have your word. We're being taught your word. Lord, may this church continue to grow. Let it be a bright light here in the mountains. Let it be a church where people know they are loved and cared for, and the shepherds love and care for them. And we pray, Father, that you'd raise up the kind of leaders described here, leaders who want to get to know their flock, leaders who are willing to stand up and lead the flock, who are committed to feeding your flock, and who are strong in protecting your flock. Help us to realize it's your flock and we're the under shepherds. And Lord, let us be committed to loving your flock and loving your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for a closing song.